Psalm 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Psalm 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Psalm 26:2. Psalm 119:59-60. I considered my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep thy commandments. Psalm 119:59-60. I considered my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep thy commandments. Psalm 119:59-60. Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make to know wisdom. Psalm 51:6. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us, for blessing us, for making it possible for us to advance on a day-by-day basis. We realize that your plan is for us not to remain babies, but to be advancing and growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that these moments we're together now will be beneficial to all of us, that we'll be able to receive spiritual fuel, that we'll be able to blend those truths we learn with others that we've learned in past days, so that we can be able to draw from the knowledge that we have received in the past and receiving now to be more effective believers. Thank you for your love and grace. We pray for those who have special burdens and heartaches and difficulties now. Especially we would pray for Robbie there in the hospital. We pray that you'll bless this family and comfort and strengthen their hearts. We pray that your will should be accomplished in this situation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to tell you at the beginning today that there will be times when you will hear a message and you will draw the conclusion that I'm probably just parked on that particular subject and not willing to get away from it. But that's really not the case. I want you to realize that there are so many things that I learn as I study each day. And I realize the importance of people taking information and letting it be more than just information. If you understand what I'm saying now, I'm saying that you can hear and receive and believe and accept information. But whether or not it is useful in your life is another matter. In other words, you can hear and you can say, I understand. Yes, preacher, I've heard you say that before. And I understand that you sometimes may think that I am senile and that I don't know that I presented information in the past that I'm receiving and presenting to you now, and you wonder, where in the world have I been? Well, I've been right here, understanding that I love you, and I love to present the word so that we can hear it and understand it, and then be able to take it and utilize it and apply it. This is the reason why I emphasize again this morning the difference between the essentials and the non-essentials. The essentials are, we're to study God's Word and let that be primary, first place in our lives. We realize that there are truths that we hear, we accept, we comprehend, we understand. But as far as us having the ability to take that information and let it be a part of our lives on a daily basis, we haven't gotten there yet. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, you can hear, you can understand, you can comprehend, but the point is, it has to move from information understood to information applied. And so that's the reason why oftentimes I come back and I repeat certain things. And the reason is because I don't want to insult your intelligence. I'm not saying you don't understand or you don't know and you don't hear and you don't comprehend. I'm saying we've got to go beyond where we are. And where we are is that we're beginning to see it's becoming very understandable to us. But what about the utilization of that which we understand? How can we utilize something unless we are in fellowship and take information that we've learned, that we've comprehended, we've been able to see it, and now it becomes a part of our existence on a day-by-day basis? We have to advance to the point as believers so that the Word of God will be such an effective instrument in our lives on a moment-by-moment and day-by-day basis. That's what I'm trying to get over. And oftentimes, I'm aware of the fact that when you hear things that I say, you're saying in your own mind, well, you know what? I understand. I've heard that before. The point is, I know you've heard it before. But are you able to utilize it? Are you able to blend it with your own biblical information of past days so that it adds to what you've received in the past? You've comprehended this. You're comprehending this. What about utilizing those in the future? Now, so much for that. I'm dealing with a subject now that you have heard. You see it as an announcement in the bulletin today. New Testament information provided before the New Testament. New Testament information provided before the New Testament. Those of you who were here last Wednesday night will remember that I asked you at the beginning of the service to take your Bible and put your hand in Matthew 1:1. And hold it there, the left hand. Then I ask you to turn to Revelation 22, the last chapter of the New Testament, and put your hand there and pull them together. I had you do that last Wednesday night. And I ask you a question. What is it that you have between your left hand and your right hand? I'm not sure I said it that way, but I want you to see what I was saying. You have in your hand what the Apostle Paul did not have. You have in your hand what the Apostle John did not have. And then I could mention other New Testament writers. Don't need to get into that. But let's just say that you take a pair of scissors or you have the strength to rip out Matthew 1:1 to the last verse of Revelation 22. And that's what you'd have. That John didn't have. That the Apostle Paul didn't have. In the light of that fact, God was in the process of giving information. It had to be given in various ways in a period of time called the pre-canon period of time. The pre-canon period of time is the time before the completion of the New Testament, which came in 96 A.D. It was a time called the mystery, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, mysterion, mystery, which means hidden. I think you all understand that. So, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 13:9, it says, "For you see, we know in part." If you know something in part, it means you don't know it in its completion. And so I emphasized last Wednesday night this Greek word that you don't even see here. It's merous, M-E-R-O-U-S. "For you see, Well, I'll just go ahead and put 1 Corinthians 13:9 on the screen. All right. Notice, if you will, what's here on the screen. For we know in part, M-E-R-O-U-S, gar. When you find the word gar, it means for, but it means that it is what is known as a post-positive conjunctive particle, which means that it's translated first, but it doesn't come first in the Greek sentence. For we know in part, and then the word is gnosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. It's a present tense, which means continuous action. Active voice means the subject produces the action. Indicative mood is the mood of reality. By now, everyone who's been hearing me preach for 40-some-odd years, when I say present, active, indicative, you know what that means. In case you don't know, I'll tell you again. Present tense means continuous action. Active voice, subject produces the action of the verb. And the indicative mood is the mood of reality. So Paul is saying, now when is Paul saying this? After 96 A.D. or before 96 A.D.? You already know the answer to that. For in part we know, and in part we prophesy. All right. What you have here in 1 Corinthians 13:9 is what is known as a particle. For you see, this particle is amplifying the manner in which the New Testament truth was taught before the existence of the New Testament. Get yourself in mind, look at that Bible that you've held at the beginning, take out the New Testament, for you see, this is amplifying the manner in which the New Testament truth was taught before the existence of the New Testament. Since the New Testament concept relative to the church and the church age is called mystery. It was not known in Old Testament times by Old Testament writers. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul is saying here, for you see, we know. This means to know and understand in the light of the fact that Paul did not have a copy of the New Testament to study. I think we know that. The Apostle Paul did not have the copy of the New Testament to study. Somehow we get the conclusion, can come to the conclusion in our minds that what we have today is what they've always had. Well, that's not the case. There was no New Testament to study. So, what we're going to see now, God gave the Apostle Paul the gift of knowledge. Was it everything recorded eventually in the whole Bible? Of course not. It was known as merus, partial. Partial means less than the total record, at which time it would be completed in 96 A.D., Paul is also telling us here that God gave to him the gift of knowledge, and in addition to that, he was given the gift to communicate, preach, proclaim, called prophecy, in part. You see it? It should be easily understood by now. It's been harped on by your preacher time and time again over the past days. This is showing how New Testament information was given to believers before the completion of the New Testament. Some believers got the information and died before 96 A.D. In other words, there were people who got the information and didn't live past the time of the completion of the New Testament. This shows that they had the same chance that you and I have, only they got it through the temporary gifts. What Paul got at that time came by divine revelation and not knowledge by studying the completed New Testament canon. How does a preacher get the information now? through individual spiritual gifts that are pre-canon spiritual gifts that have been moved over into the post-canon period? No. I'm letting that soak in. You and I have the completed canon of Scripture. And so temporary spiritual gifts that were legitimate and right and good and wonderful served their purpose. And then there came a point of time when the Bible says they were hissed off the stage. They were moved out. Why? Because they had not been good? No, they had been good, but they served their purpose. And when their purpose was completed, no longer were they needed. If it was partial, it's partial. If it's complete, it's complete. Now, if you have to forgive me, because sometimes I get excited between the sentences. This is showing how the New Testament information was given to believers before the completion of the New Testament. This shows that they had the same chance that you and I have, only they got it through temporary spiritual gifts. What Paul got at that time came by divine revelation and not by knowledge, by studying the completed canon of Scripture because he didn't have it. Since 96 A.D., the pastor is commanded to study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. That's my job. Isn't that wonderful? I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that I've been allowed a place to do this. The Scripture says, "For you see, we know in part, and we prophesy in part." When I look at that, I say to myself, "Self, tell the people whom you love so much what the conclusions are to this." Okay, I will. Conclusions. This verse covers two of the temporary gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:8. If you remember, Sly read those this morning at the beginning of the first service. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Number two, the temporary gift of knowledge possessed by the Apostle Paul was partial in contrast to the whole. That is what Paul had in 55 A.D. Question, is 55 A.D. after 96 A.D.? No. Please look at this. The temporary gift of knowledge possessed by the Apostle Paul was partial in contrast to the whole. In other words, that is what Paul had in 55 A.D. was partial in contrast to what you and I have after 96 A.D., which is the entire New Testament reduced to writing and in about 20 years had been circulated throughout the area, about 117 A.D. The reason I say that is because in 117 A.D., was the time of the approximate death of the Apostle Paul. So if his gift of apostleship lasted beyond 96 A.D., which it did if he lived to be 117 years of age, then we see that God used that time to circulate the completed canon of Scripture. It would be completely circulated to the church. Number three, Paul's contribution to the New Testament would be partial, along with Peter, 64 to 66 A.D., and James, 45 to 58 A.D., and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, in 60 to 65 A.D., and Luke, 58 to 60 A.D., and Matthew, 50 A.D., and other human writers of the New Testament. Does this make sense to you? Are you able to comprehend it and see what is being presented? Number four. This emphasizes the fact that certain spiritual gifts were temporary to be replaced by the completion and the circulation of the New Testament Scripture. Don't decry, don't put down legitimate spiritual gifts that are pre-canon. The gift of tongues, the gift of healing. Don't put those things down. They were wonderful. They were used of God. God planned it to be that way. And then when the purpose was fulfilled of those individual gifts, they were hissed off the stage. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. Please note again, certain gifts were temporary and certain gifts were permanent. But whether temporary or permanent, communication gifts were all designed to perpetuate momentum inside the system of love, which is the Christian way of life. You've heard me say this, and I repeat. If you go to the last verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has been with these people through all of their turmoil in relationship to their lack of understanding. And when you come to that last verse of chapter 12, the Lord says through the Apostle Paul, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. That excellent way is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter, which is the Holy Spirit chapter, which emphasizes throughout that chapter how great and wonderful were the pre-canon gifts and how then there came a point of time when they were hissed off the stage. If you understand that, and I believe you do, you have such a love and a thankfulness for the Word of God. It's so powerful. Number 6, the believer is responsible to grow in grace, which means perception to God, perception to God's Word, and then, listen, the application of doctrinal truths. We must always remember that when we learn something new, a new biblical concept, we're going to be tested, and it can either be a blessing or it could be suffering. We're to claim truth, subpoint one. We're to concentrate and then reverse that concentration, which means we back up and look at it again. We back up and look at it again. We back up and look at it again. I haven't lost my thought. I'm still there. We back up and we plunge out again with that same information so that what we have learned and what we have repeated time and time again is now utilizable. It is information that can be applied and utilized on a day-by-day basis. The reason why believers don't advance is because they do not reverse concentrate. I should say the reason why we don't advance, do you notice I changed it? We don't reverse concentrate. These children back here are getting information and they're listening carefully. I can tell and I appreciate that. But what they need to do is not only hear what is being said, but they need to remember it to the point that they can reverse and concentrate. Reverse, concentrate. Number 3, they can then draw proper biblical conclusions. Hasten. Number 7, before the completion of the New Testament canon, certain temporary gifts were used to communicate the Word of God. Namely, apostleship, prophecy, knowledge. But after the Word of God was consummated in 96 AD, the pastor now becomes responsible for taking that which has been presented to us, the completed New Testament, and communicate that inside the church. And then understanding that there's also the gift of evangelism, which is the gift to be used outside the local church. The gift of evangelism is related to the presentation of the gospel outside the walls of this church. You have to understand that many pastors, I believe, evangelize and evangelize and evangelize and evangelize and evangelize within the walls of the church. Not anything wrong with presenting the gospel. And I present the gospel every service because I don't want anyone to hear my voice in the church or outside the church, who need to be saved, not to have the information to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. But the purpose of us meeting here, day after day, week after week, month after month, is to advance spiritually as born-again believers. The purpose of the communication gifts is to develop the believer to the point of spiritual maturity. This is the understanding and the utilization of the divine system of love. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to see all of this again and understand that we today are so blessed at this point of time in the age of grace, the church age. We have the opportunity to know some things about the past, but know where we are now and realize that we are at a point of time where, as a core family of this church, we can advance and we can grow to the point that you can bless us. It will be beyond our imagination, beyond anything that we could ever think of. Help us to realize, as a believer in Jesus Christ, not to be satisfied with being a baby believer, a napios. Help us to grow. Help us to advance. Help us to love you more every day. Help us to desire to study your word more diligently in the future than we have in the past. And for those who hear this voice who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to do that now. We cannot make the decision for them. It's an individual, personal decision. But when you loved, you loved them. You loved all of us. You gave your Son. Your Son gave His life. We have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension session. We have Jesus Christ who has fulfilled God's plan to make the plan of salvation so plain. We pray that there will be those who will trust you now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.